Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Good morning and welcome to the first episode of season two. If you've just joined us, I am Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram, and I'm with the beautiful Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Hey.
Welcome to the new year.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2021, gang. We did it.
You mean the 13th month in 2020?
Yeah. If you are new here, maybe this is the first season you're listening to. We talk about the upcoming lunar phases every episode and kind of what that means for us, how we can apply that to our practice and just a daily ritual, that sort of thing. So this month, we are first looking at the new moon in Capricorn, which is on January 13th. And this new moon is particularly special, I guess, because it's also the first new moon of the new year. And it is such a ambitious moon. Capricorn moons are very goal-oriented and ambitious. And typically when we look at new moons in general, for the new year especially, we are looking at setting goals and intentions and, I don't know, kind of mapping out what we want for ourselves for the year ahead. So that being said, if you are looking to do spell work or similar, using the energy of the Capricorn new moon, really we want to focus on very practical goal setting. So this can come in the form of making budgets. You can make New Year's resolutions. I personally am not a fan of those, but to each their own. We want to look at holding ourselves accountable through the new year. And that can take many forms. It can be truly just being realistic and honest with ourselves throughout the entire year. Accountability can come in the form of, hey, I'm going to start exercising 3 times a week and holding yourself to that. It could be that you want to write a book this year and you're giving yourself a deadline and you are following it. So accountability will look totally unique to yourself, but that is the sort of energy that we are looking for or looking at, not for, with the Capricorn new moon.
Yeah, I love a good Capricorn new moon. I feel like it's a very productive moon, as you said.
Yeah,
like,
it's very practical.
Yes, I love it.
I do too.
Hopefully get stuff done. I mean, I love new moons in general, but I feel like all my new moons are kind of like, you know, all Capricorn new moons, because they're all centered around, you know, starting anew and starting bold and all that. So that just takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah, consider it like new moon with like a little bit of a boost, because it is the start of the new year. It's a Capricorn new moon, etc. Take some time at the bare minimum to reflect on what you want for yourself this year and be practical about it. You know, you can't, don't sit there and say, oh, I'm going to win the lottery this year, because you have no control over that. Instead, be very practical, be honest, and look at things that involve accountability.
Yes, agree.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. You know, hearing others' opinions helps us form our own opinions, or even, you know, those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. This week, we're talking about the Seven of Wands. So on the Rider-Waite-Smith version of this deck, you'll see a person on top like of a plateau in a fighting stance. There seems to be other people at the bottom of the plateau with wands themselves seemingly trying to knock the person down from their high position. You'll also notice that the person depicted on this card looks stressed out and is wearing mismatched shoes. So the universal meaning of this card is about being challenged by others and not being prepared for this sudden disruption. So for myself, when this comes up in readings, it definitely shows fighting to keep your position. This position could be many things, including like a job position, sticking up for yourself, and keeping the growth that we have cultivated. It reminds me of being in a really good place in life. Everything is going like super smoothly, and then like bam, so many things are like being thrown at you at once, either by other situations or even yourself bringing you down. It could definitely, you know, like represent imposter syndrome, in my opinion, self-deprecation or low self-worth. Mm-hmm. It, you know, when this happens, like, we like so overwhelming, but you know, this card recommends that you keep fighting to keep your position. You work so hard to get here. You know, you got this, you've made it this far. While it definitely sucks to go through this, remember, with all things, you know, ebbs happen. There is knowledge and growth to be had in them. So while you may feel like, oh my gosh, this is just going to push me off of, you know, it's just going to send me backwards, but really it's just going to give you more growth and push you to do more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, try to remember to be like your biggest supporter during these moments. And, you know, if the fight becomes too much, you know, always, always talk to someone or even take a breather. So what is your opinion, Robin, dear?
Well, I do think that, as you said, imposter syndrome is such a great word. Phrase, whatever, for this card, because for me it's very much so, you know, like when you've put a lot of work into something and it's just not quite working out yet, and you're just like, you know, maybe I wasn't meant for this, maybe this isn't how it's supposed to be, like I should just lay down and die because there's no fucking way that I'm gonna be able to do this, even though you can. Mm-hmm. You're just exhausted. So I think that imposter syndrome is such a great way of wording this card. And it's like when you're really tired and you want to go to bed. And so you're really grumpy and you're kind of a bitch. You know what I'm talking about? You're just like, you're so, you know, like when toddlers are like overly tired. So they just scream and like hit.
What are you talking about? That's like me every day at like 5 p.m.
Exactly. So that to me is very much so this card. It is, you've put in so much work, you've put in so much energy, you're exhausted, and now you are the cranky toddler. You are getting into arguments, you are having disputes, you are doubting yourself, you are wanting to give up, etc., etc. But in reality, you got to just push through it, even though it's so hard, because you're so close to being done. It's kind of like that final test. You know what I mean? Before actually finishing it. And
exactly.
The reality of the card is that you need to acknowledge and accept the fact that there are going to be quarrels. There's going to be arguments. Like, that's just real life. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that just because there's been an argument, you need to give up. Maybe instead,
you know, redirect. You already worked so hard. Don't give up. Like,
just maybe redirect.
Now's not the time to quit fighting. Yeah,
exactly. You know, like, let's say this is pertaining to your job and you've got that one coworker who just is not seeing it your way. They are picking fights with you throughout. You can't obviously just like, you know, put yourself in a position where you're like, all right, well, fuck you, Carol. I'm going to just keep going instead. And but then it would be toxic positivity to put yourself in a situation where you're just like, gritting and bearing it for no fucking reason other than the fact that you don't want to hurt Carol's feelings. So instead, redirect. You're still going to push forward, but maybe we work less with Carol. Maybe we find a new task for Carol so that way we can healthily and successfully continue to push forward without sacrificing our own mental health while simultaneously not taking a big hot dump on Carol's chest. You can have both. And that's what I call a metaphor by Robin. You're all welcome. Jot that down. Pen and paper, everybody.
Oh, that was good. Poor Carol.
Fuck Carol. Carol's a bitch.
She deserved... I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she deserved that hot shit, you fucking bitch. No. I'm just kidding. If your name is Carol and you're listening to this, I'm not adding you. Or maybe I am. Maybe you're a jerk. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know your life. I'm not trying to judge you.
Reflect, Carol. Reflect.
This one goes out to all my Carols out there. Oh my God.
So we asked you guys to leave us reviews on our Apple podcast things, not real reviews, and to also leave questions with your reviews. We are going to answer some of the questions you guys had asked in reviews. And thank you so much to everyone who took the time to leave us a 5-star review. You are amazing.
Thank you. And we appreciate so much. And especially the people who left a 5-star review but didn't have a question, you just wanted to review us. Thank you as well to you guys. Thank you. We both really appreciated it.
Yeah, and that definitely helps our podcast be seen, like on like lists and stuff like that. So yeah, thank you. We appreciate
Thank you.
So should we get to the first question?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first question is there a way to know the difference between a ghost and a hallucination?
That's a very good question.
Yeah. So for me, you know, there's nothing like being woken at 3 o'clock in the morning with a ghost hanging over you. Sometimes, you know, it is a dream creeping into reality. Other times it's unexplainable. I feel, you know, nighttime visitors, it's a great way to tell difference is to repeatedly like blink your eyes and take deep breaths. If the figure is still there, you may have a ghost. You know, the veil is super thin around that time. And when we are in that, you know, half awake state, that is when we're more susceptible to seeing things because our guards are down. Right. I don't know about you all, but I have mine up 24/7 besides apparently at that time. And I have like a lot of respect for mediums who lowers theirs constantly. You know, if you see something out of your corner of your eye during the day or even right in front of you, I still recommend blinking a few times and taking deep breaths. And I feel that when it happens repeatedly, you may have an answer. But that's how I feel about it.
I would second this. I also feel like with a lot of things, intuition is obviously your guiding force. But
there's just something different. Like you can feel it.
Exactly. And I want to tread on this lightly because I also don't want to encourage people to ignore potential hallucinations and seeking help that they might need. You know, think about a ghost very similarly as like a memory that plays out with you. Like it plays out. Yeah, maybe it'll respond here and there. But you're not going to have this ghost walking around being like, hey there, guys, like show tunes and having like this crazy conversation with you that's going to last for 10, 15, 20 minutes. You know, this is a blip. This is a couple of seconds, maybe a minute. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
If they're having some sit down conversation with you, perhaps this is time to seek, you know, medical help. And so I'm not trying to be disrespectful or rude or anything like that. I want to acknowledge the fact everything that Maria just said about blinking your eyes, stuff like that is very true. But similarly, I don't want to encourage anybody to potentially be ignoring like a serious medical problem. And so you need to do a judgment call on it. And I think that in at least in my experience, a hallucination it's much longer. It's much more unrealistic. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
From what I hear, like the people for hallucinations are more like solid. You got to think like, if you've seen A Beautiful Mind, like situations play out with these people. And it's not like that for spirits.
Right. We're talking about like a situation that maybe lasts 30 seconds.
It's seriously so quick. And you're not even, as Robin said, you're not really even interacting with them. It's just.
Right. Right. Now, obviously, there's going to be exceptions to that. But as a rule, like we are focusing on the fact that we are looking at small little interactive seconds. I always encourage people to talk to somebody. Like, if you think that it's, let's say for a second, you're like, no, this is not a hallucination. I know this isn't a hallucination, but I need an outside opinion. Go talk to somebody who is a medium and get their opinion on that. And, you know, they're going to be the ones who are going to have the best resource for you on that. And because they're the ones who, you know, that is their life. And so I encourage you to go talk to them. And if you're really unsure, you know, go talk to a medical professional. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you might show up and they're like, no, you're totally fine. Like, you know what I mean?
And not to mention, if you're suffering from hallucinations and stuff like that, chances are you're probably experiencing other symptoms.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what the symptoms would be, but I'm sure that there would be other symptoms along with that.
I mean, I'm not trying to diagnose anybody, anything like that. I'm not a medical professional, but I did work in the mental health field for several years. If you have an actual mental health problem happening, and hallucinations is one of the symptoms, you typically will have other symptoms, you know, like mania, like sleeplessness, like, you know what I mean? It's not just, well, I saw this one thing, so I now have this. It's usually a very broad blanket thing. So I would, if you're truly concerned about it, go talk to somebody, because mental health matters. It's very important. And I know that Maria and I both do not want to encourage people to ignore that in the name of spirituality.
Yes, completely agree.
So okay, moving on.
Ready for the second question?
Yeah.
Okay. This is like not a question, like it's a question, but it's like
yeah,
a whole
it's a bit layered. Yeah, it's a bit layered.
Okay. So they said, I'm just kind of putting pronouns and I shouldn't, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the use of Palo Santo and sage, white sage, blue sage, the sage that grows in my yard, as a method of cleansing, constitutes as a close practice to non-Indigenous people. I support ethical harvesting and Indigenous businesses when I purchase such items, but maybe I should not be purchasing them at all. If you have any recommendations for Indigenous witches to follow, I'd love to hear them.
Do you want to start, or would you like me to?
So, you know, I have, I'm a big believer in supporting tribes and Indigenous people. I think it is, if you're going to buy it, you buy it directly from said tribe or Indigenous farm and verbally get their consent to use it. I wouldn't be flashing it all over social media and stuff like that, because that's just disrespectful to like the people that you purchased it from. But I personally do not use it anymore. My go-tos are currently rosemary, lavender right now. I don't feel right anymore about using it. And I'd rather be like super respectful rather than dipping blue. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
How about you?
Yeah, for me, a few things. First and foremost, I do believe that you can get ethically harvested stuff from Indigenous people. However, I do agree with Maria. Mm-hmm. You should get verbal consent from said tribe that you are acquiring it from. Because I am a firm believer that we should be supporting our Indigenous people by any means we can. And if part of that is, you know, buying wares and stuff like that from them, then yes, absolutely do it. However, first and foremost, I do feel like it has been incredibly outspoken by many members of Indigenous communities that they do not want us using that. And I don't feel as though it's that hard to be respectful by just using something else. There are plenty of options for smoke cleansing that are not a part of a closed practice. For example, white sage is a part of a closed practice. It is part of Indigenous American specific, I don't want to misspeak and say the wrong tribe name, so I'm not going to, but there are specific tribes that use white sage and just don't use that. There's so many sages that are appropriate to people with Eurocentric backgrounds, like clary sage, for example.
Garden sage is a lot different than white sage. So
white sage is a sacred herb that is very, very specific to an indigenous practice. That not only is it a closed practice that they've requested non-members of that community to not use, but its actual use is to prepare a space for the Great Spirit. It's not for getting rid of negative energy per se. And so the
idea, it's supposed to be like build up energy, like help you build up energy.
It's like when frankincense and myrrh is burned in a church and it's an offering to God and stuff like that. This is my understanding of Catholicism. Welcome to my brain, guys. it is very similar to that in my understanding, where it is preparing the space for the Great Spirit. You trying to get rid of negative energy and clear your space is not preparing it for the Great Spirit, because you very likely are not an Indigenous person who even works with the Great Spirit. And therefore, I say, just don't use it. There are a lot of great alternatives. I know for me, we have a local tribe here who makes cleansing wands specifically out of mountain sage, and I just get their permission because that's not for them a closed practice for my local tribe. But I also really don't really buy that very often. I only really get it when they're having markets or similar and I want to go support them. Like Maria, I use usually rosemary, and I use clary sage and lavender to cleanse my space, and incense a lot. So I'm not saying don't do it. You are your own person and you can do whatever you want, but I think that it is important that us on the outside who are not Indigenous, we need to listen to the communities that are asking us to not use something because it's sacred to them. It's not that hard to just use something else. There's a million options. So, like, let's just be respectful and listen. We've taken enough from them, guys. Like, it was illegal for them to even burn their own white sage until, like, 1978 or something like that. Let's just respect that. Let's just let them have it.
I completely agree. So that's my
soapbox on that, everybody. You're welcome.
And rosemary smells so amazing
It really, really does. So does lavender. Good.
Oh, yes, it does. And both of them together. Oh,
yeah. There's so many options. Like, you don't need to use white sage and you don't need to use Palo Santo. I prefer burning wood. I use pine and cedar that come out of my yard. I love
pine. Pine is so nice.
Yeah. You can see, because I get it, you know, I understand how Palo Santo burns because it's a wood and that's very easy for people. So I understand that. So just pick other woods that aren't sacred. So, like, let's pick some cedar, pick some pine, look at red fir, look at the correspondences of oak, etc., and potentially use that instead.
Yes, agree. So you're ready for the next, we have to go over. So for like Indigenous creators, I'm a big fan of Juliet Diaz. I think her Instagram handle is I am Juliet Diaz, and she is a author, and I think she's released two books so far. And in her book, she even like talks about the use of that stuff and just how to be more respectful of practices.
Totally. I will be perfectly honest with you. I do not follow a lot of Indigenous creators, not because I don't support them, but just because I don't really know about them. It is a very closed, sacred practice. And so I don't really know about them existing. However, I mean, I'm sure they exist, but they aren't in my realm of scope, and I don't want to point people to the wrong direction. And so if other people listening have creators that they are really loving, that they're inspired by, etc., that are Indigenous, we would really love to hear back from you guys on that so we can share that.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially to yes. answer better next time. And introduce amazing. Us to new creators that are amazing. So if you guys would, that would be excellent.
Love that. Okay. On to the next. So what books on numerology would you suggest? I have sung this book's praises repeatedly on this podcast and on the second half and in the Discord, but it is honestly so good and thorough. Llewellyn's Big Book of Correspondences is absolutely amazing. While it isn't 100% numerology, it does get into what each number represents. So if you are working with numbers during spell work, even what to know what a certain number represents, it is just an amazing resource to have.
I have and enjoy The Complete Book of Numerology by David Phillips. It is an older publication.
That one is so good.
I don't know if they still print it. I genuinely don't know.
Thank
I
you.
Got okay, because I got mine on eBay like I don't know, like 2 years ago. Because your girl likes a secondhand book. And I've also heard really, really good things about A Beginner's Guide to Numerology by Joy Woodward. I will say I have not read that book myself, but I've heard good things from other people that I trust the opinion of. So although I haven't read it, I respect the people that have recommended it. And so therefore I will pass that on as well.
Yeah. People have have spoken a lot of great things about The Beginner's Guide to Numerology, and it has really good reviews too on both like Amazon and on Goodreads for being like super thorough and all that. It even has like better reviews than The Complete Book of Numerology by David Phillips. So might be definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. Like and that I haven't read it, but I do trust the people who have.
And I think a good thing about numerology, too, is our personal correspondences to said numbers. So forming your own opinions is really good. And if you're part of tarot, you know, if you do tarot and stuff like that, numerology helps a lot with like understanding the minor arcana.
Real series I've been working on Instagram to share tarot numerology, because if you know the suit meaning and you pair it with the basic numerology, you can get a rudimentary understanding of the minor arcana, and that's really helpful for new people.
Ready for the next question?
Yeah, girl.
Okay, so I am a Christian lesbian, and that's already pretty controversial. I have researched Christian witches, and there are a few, but I just was wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Go ahead. You go first.
Okay. I always say to my clients and all that our practices and spirituality need to be unique fit to our gorgeous spirits. And no matter religion or practice looks like, when, you know, it's not going to be 100% the same as each individual, even when it comes to organized religions. If, you know, Christian witchcraft calls out to you, go for it. I mean, a lot of people have very successful and meaningful practices working with angels, the Christian God, and the Virgin Mary. It is personally not my cup of tea, but I'm definitely going to support my Christian witches who have cultivated growth and meaning into your life by practicing that way. You know, as long as your spiritual practice is bringing you closer to your highest version of self, good on you.
Yeah. I would say that saying that Christian witchcraft is illogical is completely ignoring folk magic. Folk magic, I know, like, so I am Latina, and growing up you have like saint worship, right? That's a very common part of Mexican households. At least in the Mexican households that I surrounded myself with. And the two go hand in hand, praying specifically to a saint or a folk saint like Santa Marta is inherently incorporating both folk traditions and devout faith in Christianity. And so, I mean, my understanding, at least with Hoodoo, is that they also use the Bible as part of their practice. And conjure, etc. I mean, I could be confusing the two, so don't quote me on that. Conjure and root worked versus hoodoo. So I don't quote me on that, but I know that they use it as well. And so I think that saying that, oh, well, being a Christian witch doesn't make sense is completely ignoring like huge sections of folk magic. So I think it makes perfect sense. And I agree with Maria that, you know, you have to make your practice your own. And if that part of your practice makes sense for you, then why shouldn't you do it? It's not for me, but you know what? I bet there's lots of parts of my practice that aren't going to be right for you, and that's okay.
100%.
So I, of course I think it's valid. That is part of being a witch. That's part of the, you know, occult and witchcraft pagan experience, is that each of our paths, each of our practices are uniquely their own. And like Maria and I have said 1,000 times on here, is that you can have 12 witches in the same coven performing the same spell and they will all do it differently because they're all uniquely their own. And this is no exception to that.
100%.
100%.
I think it's starting to rain here. So if you guys hear a little trickle in the background, it's the rain.
You've brought our listeners ASMR. Congratulations. Yeah. Just lightly tapping on the roof of the bus.
This is Rain Sounds by Robin. Oh my god. All right. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and delete that. Anyway. But, yeah, I hope we covered all the questions that needed.
We did. Answering.
We only had a couple, but I think that they were really good questions. So I'm glad we talked
they
about
were.
It. And we appreciate you guys again, like one more time. I know that, this is probably annoying, but we really do appreciate you guys going on and not only asking questions, but rating our podcast, because that is such a huge support for us.
It is 100%. So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
I missed that. It's been a few weeks. Wow.
Did it make your toes curl?
It did. I got goosebumps. So for me, what's stirring my cauldron this week is reigniting my own research flame. I am starting to map out some stuff for a personal project, and with that comes research, and with research that means I get to buy and highlight in books. And I don't know about y'all, but there is nothing sexier than the first highlight line in a book. I know some people don't like that, but I annotate my books, so, you know, cry about
it. I think that's just like with tarot decks and stuff like that. I love a good worn tarot deck. Like, it shows and that, like, it's so good.
It's very, what's that Japanese expression? Wabi-sabi? Sabi-wabi, something like that. It means like the beauty in imperfection. That's, I love it. I love doing stuff like that. So I've been really excited because I'm starting to map some stuff out and, you know, picking out where I want to pull ideas from, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore I get to explore research again. I'm actually reading.
I love that.
Like 4 books right now that are all peer reviews, which is really fun for me because I get to see other people's ideas before it hits an editor, which is fun because you just kind of get that raw, I don't know, that raw thought process of a person, which is very cool. So I don't know. I'm just excited about that. I'm excited and enjoying the ideas and prospects of exploring, you know, new concepts. So that's fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, being in school, like being forced to be in school sucks. Like, right. Doing your own research and learning.
When you're picking the topic, it's totally different.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's like, it makes you more passionate about learning and all that. You know, it's like people who go into trades and stuff like that, like they get like really into it. And oh yeah, there's just, as you said, there's like a beauty in it, like doing a bunch of research and studying.
Right.
Becoming an expert.
Yeah, it's fun to me. And I'm a firm believer that you can never really be an expert in anything because we're always learning new stuff. And so I like exploring that. I like exploring new ideas and new concepts, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's cool. I think other people should think it's cool. Everyone should go read. Please read. Reading is fun.
Or and if you can't read,
listen to audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks sometimes. Sometimes I get really overwhelmed with sensory stuff. And so I listen to audiobooks and then I just take notes in a journal.
Me too. Actually, I do the same thing because I have to because I'm, you know, like during my free time, I'm cleaning and taking care of house stuff.
She's
and so like listening
wife.
To an audiobook.
She's a Stepford wife, guys.
No, you are it's just that I am the most anal retentive about cleaning in the house.
Not a single stick of dust here. She's
well,
a Stepford wife. She's a perfect hair.
Better than a clean baseboard, okay?
All right. Calm down. Wet patch over here, just freaking out about a baseboard. that's what I'm really excited about. I have a lot of goals for 2021. And with those goals, like, comes the fun aspect of research. And I am so excited about it. So, yeah. So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
So, what isn't stirring my cauldron is the rush of energy and chaos of the new year. Yeah, I think we put way too much pressure on ourselves, even as witches, to push our limits this time of year. I mean, obviously, you know, we should all push our limits from time to time. But when a group of people are all doing it at the same time, it becomes so stressful and chaotic. I mean, please don't get me wrong. Like, I love having a plan and intention and sticking with it, you know, like new moon energy. But I feel that with like resolutions, we don't give ourselves enough room to build it naturally like we do for the new moon. Like, let's say Bertha said she's going to be pulling a tarot card every day, which is great. But, you know, maybe she misses it a few days. But since this is a resolution, resolution for her, she feels absolutely awful for it. And she feels like a bad witch. This is not
Bertha.
The case. Just because.
Silly Bertha.
Just because you made a resolution doesn't mean you won't have ebbs and flows. You aren't less of a witch for falling prey to something that is very natural. You know, like. Anyways, you know, like, you have like a million Berthas that are doing this right now in the community and setting themselves up for failure. You know, November and December may be a make it or break it time for newer witches, but January is truly what delivers the nail to the coffin to someone who is possibly letting go of their practice. And I think, you know, resolutions like play a big role in that. And so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, lovely witches, be kind to yourselves, allow yourself to ebb and flow. And remember that what makes a witch is that we all know that we can practice when we are good and ready. And because it's part of us, you know, magic is part of us and it's always there. Don't stress yourself out.
That's a huge reason why I'm so anti New Year's resolutions and I'm instead pro making goals. because mm-hmm. goals have ebb and flow, like you said. Resolutions don't. And that's why so many people make like the gym resolution and then they give up on it after a month because they weren't perfect about it. They weren't setting realistic mm-hmm. and kind goals for themselves. So be kind to yourself. I second Maria. Be nice to yourself. There's only one you.
Do your best. I mean, I don't pull cards every single day. Do I try to? Yes, 100%. But
I never
I'm not
going to
beat myself up over it.
I actually don't even own a single tarot deck. This is all a,
none at all.
This is a sham. My name is actually Jim.
No. You're Hackerman, so you're putting your Photoshop images in your videos and stuff.
I want you to know that when I said I'm Hackerman, I crossed my arms. I was, yeah, I'm Hackerman. Everyone, please put that visual in your brain. I am the Hackerman. And with Hackerman, I have perfectly photoshopped all of my photos to make it look as though I have a full practice. I don't. I am just a simple hacker man, you know, living in a sea of, I don't know, the internet. There was going to be a metaphor there. It didn't come to me. Let me have this, okay? But I agree with Maria. Everybody needs to be nicer to themselves. There's only one you, and with there being only one you are the only person that you guaranteed have to love and like for the rest of your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else can fuck off if they're being terrible, but you are stuck with you. So let's be nice to that person. Y'all 100%. Are doing your best.
Yes.
If you are new here, if this is your first episode ever, we talk about creators, shops, and just accounts that we are really loving right now every single week. And every single week, I have the preface because nobody seems to learn how to listen, to not contact us to be featured on here. This is something that we do organically. We find these accounts and we just genuinely like them and want to share with people. This is not a paid promotion. It will never be a paid promotion. And if you reach out, all you're going to get is the block button. So that being said, Maria, who's your first account you're digging right now?
So I have been, well, for a long time, a Hysteria Machine on Insta. Also, they have a shop and stuff, but they make crowns, like, you know, goddess crowns and all that. Like, they are stunning. Like, it's all metal work and they look mm-hmm. like super heavy and intricate and gorgeous. Oh my gosh, I have been wanting one forever, especially to use, you know, I love taking photos. So some I want one so bad. Like, they're so pretty and
Even if you aren't into their crowns, even if you're like, oh, I don't want one, their photos on their page, I don't know if they're user submitted or what, but they remind me very specifically of an early 2000s, like, goth internet, like the mm-hmm. goth corner of the internet, what we all thought we looked like. We didn't. This is what we all thought we looked like when we took pictures, and I love that. It reminds me of like a 2005 goth culture and what we all thought our MySpace photos looked like. And they didn't, but this is what we were going for. This was the goal.
I wish I had today's knowledge of photography back during MySpace time. I would have killed it.
Oh my God. So same. I just think back of me at like 15, and Maria has seen some of those photos. They are bad. They are so bad. And I just think about that and I'm just like, wow, if I had even a shred of talent at 15, I could have done so much better. But instead, you know, I was rocking the fake lip piercings because, you know, why not?
Yeah, just, I definitely recommend checking them out because they are stunning and beautiful. And as Robin pointed out, the photos, they do use different photographers, but
there's still a very uniform energy. Even their photos do, you know, change. And there's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But there is a uniform energy, and it is very invoking of vampire freaks. And if you know what that love is, I love that for you. Our, like, 18-year-old listeners, like, what's a vampire freak? And it's like, don't Google it. Don't Google it. I know it got removed. It was taken down. Like, they finally closed shop like 2 years ago.
Oh, well, it had a lot of controversy.
You think? yeah. Anyway, don't Google it, guys, because you're going to judge Maria and I. And everybody else who's listening and knows exactly what that is. So if you're younger and you don't know what that is, just keep it that way. That's okay. It's fine. Just keep it that way.
Oh my God. So who have you been loving?
I have been loving an account that I've been loving for a very long time. I believe you pronounce their name Maya, but it might be Maya. But I always say Maya Bino. I've never heard them actually say their own name before, so it could be one or the other. But their Instagram is Maya Bino on Instagram, and all their photos are like this pastel, ethereal dreamland.
Like dreamscape. Yeah.
It's so like, take me out of my own body and like put me in this world. It's just... wow. You know what I mean? And when and if you guys look it up, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I personally am an extra big fan of their cat series, and they've got like these meadow photos where it's like a pretty like out of focus close up of flowers, but then there's like this whole meadow behind it. And what blows my mind is they use 35mm film, and I am not a film guy by any means, but I am still so impressed with the kind of technicolor, you know what I mean, the technicolor photos that they get out of 35mm film. And I don't know if they do it on Photoshop or if it's the film itself.
Oh yeah, definitely. 100% they do it through Photoshop.
I have no idea, but I do love it. I love it so much. I just think it's so stunning.
It is. It is so beautiful and well done. As you said, I'm
living their photos.
I am not a film photographer, and I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea, but I'm always so amazed about how people, I don't know, do images through film.
Yeah, it's just stunning. Amazing. Anyway,
love it.
Yeah, that's who I'm loving this week. Girl. So just really one more time to preface, do not look up vampire freaks if you don't know what it is. Just don't do it. Just if you thought about doing it, go do something else. Just go read a book. If any one of you messaged me and is like, I didn't know what it was and I Googled it, I'm gonna do something. I'll do something crazy. I don't know, but I'll do it. So will Maria. She's backing me up on this one.
Oh, definitely.
Oh my God. We hope you guys will join us on Friday, January 22nd for season 2 of episode 2. Yeah. Keep an eye out on our Instagrams and on our Twitter, and you can follow us there at Coffee Cauldrons for more information. And Maria and I just made an Instagram, which is Coffee and Cauldrons Pod. We haven't done a single thing on it yet. So if you go follow it and you're like, this is literally a gray-faced man, that's because we haven't done anything on it yet, okay? But we are working on it. So go follow it and expect perhaps something to appear on there at some point.
Yeah, maybe even a couple times per week. Who knows?
We are going to find out. So perhaps go follow that. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Anything could happen. So, or you can also join us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions in our part 2 next time.
Yes, you'll even get to hear our sensual voices for an additional 30-minute episode-ish. We're give or take. Sometimes it's 40 minutes, sometimes it's 20. We're giving it a nice median of 30-minute episodes. All you have to do is join our Patreon tier, casting and up.
So, again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from @atiredwitch on Instagram.
And Maria from @MariaTheArcane on Instagram.
All right, you ready to count this down?
Let's do it.
First one of the new year. Let's do this, girl.
Okay.
Are you ready?
One,
two, three. Bye, witches. That's pretty close.
10. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.